The scripture tonight is Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 to 28, and chapter 3, verse 23. Genesis chapter 1, 26 to 28. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them rule over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the sky, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them. God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth, and subdue it, and rule over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the sky, and over everything, every living thing that moves on the earth." Chapter 3, verse 23. Therefore, the Lord God sent him from the Garden of Eden to cultivate the ground from which he was taken.
Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, last time I told you about who God is. God is the Creator who created the heavens and the earth. And He is, "I am who I am, God." He knows everything. He can do everything. He is omniscient and omnipotent. He existed in the form of light with voice. And when did He put on the image of man? It was when He decided to have human cultivation. Human cultivation is to create human beings and govern the history of human beings to get His true children. Tonight I'm going to tell you why Father God studied human cultivation. And I'll also tell you what the duty of man is. This sermon refers to some parts of the message of the cross, number 4 and 5. And a lecture on Genesis. You know, as you listen to this message, you may say, you know, it's not related with the sanctification quite a lot. You know, we are being cultivated to recover the lost image of Father God. So, I'm going to tell you the reason for your sanctification. The reason this message is based on Message of the Cross, Lecture on Genesis, preached by our shepherd, and his books in the Profession and Tears. I hope you can feel the love of Father God in this message. I pray in the name of the Lord that you may understand the reason you are born and eventually enter New Jerusalem. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ. And I'll talk about God who created man. You know, God has neither a beginning nor end. You know, He existed from the before in eternity. Nobody can fathom. And then, at a certain point in time, God made a plan. It was a plan to create the heavens and the earth and human beings. When I said no, creating the heavens and the earth means all the stars in the universe as well as the earth. Just as the parents decorate a baby's room and prepare everything for the baby even before the baby is born, you know, God made a suitable environment for man and created them so that, you know, they could enjoy everything. No, just as you would prepare, you know, diapers or toys or cradles even before your baby is born, right? And you are waiting for your baby, unborn baby, and prepare all those stuff, you know? And then you even think about the color. Father God had the same heart. So He made all the preparation. From originally existing one God, you know, He divided out from Himself God the Son and God the Holy Spirit to become God the Trinity. And God put on a certain image, and it is the image that we now have. Of course, they have a different entity, since they are originally one. So their heart and power is the same. And the space is also separated into the space of spirit and the space of flesh. In the spiritual realm, he made the spiritual beings such as heavenly hosts, angels, and cherubim, along with Lucifer and two more archangels that have, you know, free will. In the physical space, he made the earth on which the human beings would live. And this is the earth, and people say that the earth has very long history. Some may say, you know, Christians say, you know, human history is about 6,000 years long, but, you know, this earth is like in a million years old. So you're wrong. Well, but they are mistaken. They don't understand the word of God. They don't know the work of creation. The earth was created long, long time ago. But 6,000 years means human beings have been cultivated after, you know, Adam was driven out to this earth. At a certain point of time, Lucifer got arrogant and he betrayed God and rebelled against God. And of course, this rebellion, you know, got, you know, suppressed. But Lucifer didn't admit that she was defeated. She rather complained, and she said, if she has the authority and power again, then she can, you know, challenge God. She was so arrogant like that, but Father God accepted this challenge. Because God knew that Lucifer was necessary for human cultivation. And it is well known in Genesis chapter 1, verse 2. You know, if Lucifer had said she was sorry, then it would have been good, but she didn't do so. Genesis 1-2 says, the earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep. The Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters. This verse contains spiritual and fleshly meanings. The earth was formless and void. When it says that the earth was formless, it means the spiritual order was, you know, chaotic after Lucifer's rebellion. And when it says earth was void, it means Father God's heart was void, because even though he knew that Lucifer would rebel and betray, after Lucifer rebelled against God, you know, Father God's heart was void. But Father God didn't, you know, hate Lucifer only because he knew Lucifer would betray him. Father God didn't do so. Lucifer herself also knew that she could not defeat God. However, she was blinded by her own arrogance. She was confused that she might defeat God. And Father God knew the heart of Lucifer. However, Father God gave her more love. He even told her what the outcome of the betrayal. However, Lucifer was so arrogant that she took the love of Father God as granted. And she even tried to defeat God. Then why Father God loved Lucifer even though he knew that Lucifer would betray? It's because Father God is love itself. That's spiritual love. Even if evil people try to kill you, who does only the good things, if you can save him, you just love him, and you can even give your own life to him. However, the wage of sin is death. This is the rule and the law of the spiritual realm. And Lucifer could not avoid it. And God knew the miserable death of Lucifer. So Father God tried to give her a chance or room to turn back. So you can see how great his love is, as well as his goodness. So Lucifer could not say, you know, I did that because you didn't love me. Now, the surface, darkness was over the surface of the deep means the forces of the darkness was now confined in the abyss. And it means the peace was restored in the spiritual realm. And at the same time, Father God himself came down to the earth, which was covered by the river, water of life, after the six-day creation. Well, let me tell you the heart of Father God after the Lucifer's betrayal. So void, the love that I gave her turned into this incident. Of course, it's necessary for human cultivation. My heart is full of pain, the pain of betrayal, and excruciating pain. Well, he overcame this pain with the hope of getting two children. Before he created man, though, he filled this earth with beautiful contents. Genesis chapter 1 briefly tells us about the process of God's six-day creation. On the first day, he created light. On the second day, the expanse. On the third day, he divided the land and the sea and made plants, vegetation, and trees bearing fruit. On the fourth day, he made the sun, the moon, and the stars in the sky. And on the fifth day, living things in the sea and birds. On the sixth day, he made livestock and animals that move along the ground. And lastly, he created the human being, Adam. His work of dividing the physical space from the spiritual realm and creating the heavens and the earth and all things was, after all, for the creation of man. Just as parents decorate baby's room and prepare everything for the baby, even before the baby is born, God made a suitable environment for man and created them so that, you know, they could enjoy everything. Brothers and sisters, then why did God create Adam? And why has it been cultivating man until today? The title of this message is God Who Created Us. That's the title. That's the main message. The purpose of human cultivation is to gain true children that God can share love with. God wanted to gain children with whom he could share his love. God the Creator has a divinity and a humanity also. God the Creator has the power of the deity, the authority as the judge, and strict justice as a divine being. That's why he created everything, universe and suns, the earth, with his word. But at the same time, he also has human nature, such as love, compassion, and mercy. He sometimes rejoices and becomes happy, or becomes sad, or laments at other times. Because he has human natures, he wanted to have somebody with whom he could share his love with, rather than being alone. Of course, you know, we cannot say Father God is lonely, but surely he wants to share his great love with someone. That's why he created human beings. After I became Christian, I asked like this. Well, then, isn't Father God selfish? He created man for his own sake. Well, and I, I faced such people, you know, who asked the same question. Father God, do you think he created human beings for his own sake? Well, no. He has full of love. And, you know, he knows that this love will become greater when he can share love with somebody. That's why Father God wants to have someone you know, he can share love with. And Father God gives more. So when parents have children, of course, there are many parents here now. Do you have plan to, I mean, how can I explain? Let's say you get pregnant just because you want to be served by your children. You would know that as you raise your children, even though you wanted to be served by your own children later on, you know that, you know, it's great loss because you have to give more to your children than you would receive later from them. You know, once babies are born, all your rooms, you know, become messy. The diapers and toys. There are many parents who can say like that. Now, what about food, like milk and other stuff? As your children grow up, you have to feed them, you have to provide them in the tuitions. So if you calculate them all, then you cannot have a baby. So let me ask you this. Why do you have a baby? For your own sake? No. You wanna have, you know, you wanna share your love with them, right? Most of all, we know about heaven and New Jerusalem. And we increase our faith to share love with our Father God. When your baby, you know, decorates your chest with the coronation on Mother's Day or Father's Day, and you are so happy, right? Even though the coronation, the flower itself is so cheap. Your children do not know your heart completely. But, you know, those little children come to you and put in a coronation on your chest. You're so full of, you know, love, right? So you can imagine the heart of Father God who created human beings just because he wanted to share love with human beings. But through his sacrifice, Father God knew that he would get true children. That's why he began human cultivation. So on the sixth day, he created first man Adam from the dust. And when he did that, his heart was full of hope and expectation. Genesis 2:7 says, "Then the Lord God formed man of dust from the ground and breathed it into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being." God created the heavens and the earth by his word, but he himself formed the man from the dust of the ground. He molded not only the outer appearance, but also internal organs, bones and muscles, and all the tissues perfectly. How could it be possible? When he created Adam and molded all the parts of the body, original light came out from the tip of his fingers. When the light touched the man, it became body part. Eyebrow, hair, nerves, blood vessels, all those were created. So even before he breathed the breath of life, Adam already had the perfect look of a man. It was not a doll of dust. And he confessed like this. Father God confessed like this. And it is written in our shepherd's book. Will this man truly understand my heart? Let me read it for you. My long-standing hope and desire is contained in this man. Through all these beautiful things that I'm doing, I wish all my hopes and plans will be completely fulfilled. My powerful hands touch each part to make organs and all that is in the body through this man who is made beautifully. And I'll be glorified. Through the son and other son, my beauty, compassion, meekness, fullness of love, and all my needs will be proclaimed. I make this mouth, I make this lips, ears, hands, feet, all that is in the body beautifully. Through this birth of man now, my long-standing hopes and wishes will be made true. If this man truly understand my heart, will he understand my heart? Will he understand this love of the Father who is making each cell, organ, and every part of his body? My long-lasting desire created this man, and all things will last until later days of my glory. The profession of God's heart he made when he was molding the first man Adam with great expectation and love and with all his best efforts. However, the activity of life didn't start yet because the outer shell of body is created, but the contents was not there, the spirit itself. Finally, Father God breathed the breath of life into his nostrils, and Adam started to live. The heart started to bounce, blood started to circulate, eyes could see, ears could hear. Then Adam became the living being. When the human creation was completed, Father God was so overjoyed and he laughed out loud, and his laughter filled the entire heavens and skies. If you understand why man was created, you can give answer to the question why you live and how you should live. You have to change and become sanctified to become true child of God. That's your purpose of your life. Then, in order to do so, you should live by the word of God. That's the meaningful life. But when people do not know why people were created, they cannot find a reason for their lives. Well, when I was preparing for this message, you know, I referred to many other materials and how people answer to this question, why they should live. Well, they give this kind of answers commonly. I'm talking about worldly people. They said, there is no answer in our lives. They said, there is no fixed reason for our lives. And it is meaningless to find the reason. Well, they say so because they do not know the true reason of life. They say, from the birth of life, people are destined to death. 10 days, 10 years, eventually people will die. So enjoy your moment, enjoy life. Make your today better than yesterday. Don't be greedy. Be satisfied with your life. As you live your life, you may have precious things. Then you can make it your reason of life. If you're happy when you help others, then help others. If you're happy when you do what you do, what you like, then you live your life like that. Well, that's what, you know, people answered. To find the reason for the question why they should live, they couldn't give the right answer, so they were answering like this. And they thought, you know, they were doing their best. However, if that's the purpose of life, then it's so sad. You know, even though we share affection, love, relationship, hobbies, if that's all over when we die, it's meaningless, right? But that's not the truth. There is truly a reason for our lives. Father God created us to make us His true children. This earth is a momentary place. Our home is in heaven. When we do good things by faith, we will have rewards in heaven. As we sanctify our heart and be sanctified, we can come close to Father God and share love with Father God forever. That's why we have to listen to the word of Father God and live by it. This is the clear answer, the why we should live our life. So, our duty is this. to recover the lost image of Father God. We should be forgiven and recover the lost image of Father God. That's our believing life. We should love Father God. We should live by the Word of God. And we should live the changed life. Our shepherd used the expression human cultivation when he preached the message of the cross sermon. I told you what the human cultivation is, right? And it is taken from the parables in the Bible. There are many parables in the Bible, and among them are many about cultivating the land, farming, and harvesting fruits and grain. For example, in Matthew chapter 13, Jesus compared the heart of man with four kinds of field. He explained the measure of bearing truth as fruit is different according to what kind of heart the seed of God's word falls on. And he explained about the judgment through the parables of wheat and chaff in Matthew chapter 3, and the parables of weeds and wheat in Matthew chapter 13. Souls who are like the good grains will go to the barn of the kingdom of heaven, but the souls who are like the chaff will fall into the fire of hell. Through these parables, Father God is telling us why He created human beings and why He is cultivating human beings. Through these in the biblical parables, God lets us know that He is creating man on this earth and leading human history is like cultivation, just as farmers plow the land and cultivate. That's why we can say God's providence of creating us and letting us live on this earth is the providence of human cultivation. And here's the question. Why didn't human beings obeying the word of Father God well? Of course, He didn't need to make man. Well, He had countless angels and heavenly hosts that can absolutely obey the word of Father God. You know, there are beings that only obey God unconditionally. They worshipped, praised, and gave glory to God unconditionally. But they are not beings that choose to obey or not in different situations, but only obey, I will say again, unconditionally. Say, a person has a son, and he sometimes causes trouble and breaks the heart of his parents. But when his parents scold him, he repents, asks for forgiveness, and comes to the parents in a lovely and winsome way. As he gets older, he comes to understand the heart of his parents. His thanks and love for the grace of his parents becomes greater. Now, let's say in his house there is a robot. And this robot is made in human form. It can even speak. And it obeys any command. It can do even hard work without any difficulty to help the owner. It will never give any trouble or break the heart of the owner. Now, which one would you rather have? Would you say you don't need the son because you have a high-tech, well-obeying robot? I do not think so. No matter how well a robot obeys and it resembles man, we cannot compare it with our own children, with whom we can share our heart. It's the same with Father God. He wanted to gain this kind of true children with whom He could share His heart. Rather than heavenly hosts and angels who are made only to obey, He wanted true children who would obey willingly with love for God. That's why He made man. But this kind of true children cannot be gained for nothing. Even though He is teaching human beings for hundreds of years or millions of years, it cannot be done. Human beings needed time to discern what is good, what is right, what is goodness and what is evil. They have to understand by their own free will what they have to choose, and they have to be refined. They needed that kind of time. Just like when a seed is sown in the field, it needs to have root under the ground and observe, nutrients to grow up well, and it has to overcome all kinds of wind and rain. So, brothers and sisters, when you farm, you will not gain only good grains. Although the farmers try his best, there is not only good grain, but also chaff at the time of harvest. You know, chaff is the grain with nothing in it, as you can see on screen. There is nothing, no contents in it. So naturally, you cannot eat the chaff. And if you put the chaff with the good grain in the barn, even the good grain will become inedible. Now, if you make rice with the good rice and chaff, can you eat it? So farmers has to do the process to separate the good grains from the chaff. And there are basically two ways to separate them. That is, one is to use wind, the other is to use, water. And as you can see on the screen, there is such a device. You put the good grain and chaff at the same time on that device, and then you flip it, and by the wind, the natural chaff will be blown away, right? So that device is used to separate the chaff from the good grains. So if you toss it in the air, and then the light chaff will be blown away. And then that's a manual device, right? And that's the automatic machine. And if you use it, the chaff will be gone and only good grains will be gathered. And there is a way to use water. You put water, and into the water you put all the grains. And since good grains are heavy, they are sinked, and the chaff will be float. And then you get rid of those, chaff which are afloat on the surface of the water. Since those good grains are heavy, they are, they will sink down. I received grace as I prepared this message. The water is the water of life, right? But when grains are put into the water, which is the word of God, good grains are separated from the chaff. From the viewpoint of farmers, they worked hard, but they were chaff. But it's unavoidable. You can just use the chaff only for fertilizer, or you have to burn them. In the same way, after God cultivates human beings, He will separate the good grains from the chaff in the end. Matthew 3:12 says, His winnowing fork is in His hand, and He will thoroughly clear His harvesting floor, and He will gather His wheat into the barn, but He will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire, which refers to the fire of hell. When the end that is set by God comes, God will end human cultivation and judge everybody who has lived on this earth. At this time, those who have not become the wheat but the chaff will fall into the fire of hell. So what kind of people is the wheat or good grain that enters the heavenly kingdom? And what kind is the chaff that falls into hell? We are saying the end is near. But don't worry. Okay? Students testified. I got no strength to overcome myself. I wasn't, automatically checking all my messages on my cell phone. But when they touched our shepherd's hand, when they, grabbed the helping hand of Father God and Holy Spirit, they changed. We can receive their help and we can change too. The wheat is those, who have accepted Jesus Christ, love God, and live according to the Word of God. They are the ones who have diligently gotten rid of evil and recovered the lost image of God. On the other hand, the chaff is those who haven't accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior. They are non-believers, non-Christians. There are also those who profess their faith in God but do not truly believe in their heart, but live in untruth and darkness. Even though they go to church, they got no faith. Although they profess with their lips that they believe in the Lord, if they do not live according to the word of God, but live in sins following the lust of the world, they are not good grains but chaff. So Matthew 7:21, the Lord said, "Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter." Then chaff will fall into hell and suffer forever, right? But think about Father God's heart. 1 Timothy 2:4 says, Father God desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. That's why Father God gave his first begotten son to be crucified on the cross. He laments for those who are heading toward destruction. That's why he still wants to save even those people. Nevertheless, those who haven't accepted the Lord as their Savior or those who still live in sins cannot recover the value of God's true children who are made in the image of God. Since they don't accomplish the duty of man, they are no different from animals, nothing but chaff. God cannot bring this chaff that has lost the value of man into the heaven, along with souls who have come out as good grains. What will happen if God lets those who hate and be fined with those spiritual children? Heaven will be no more beautiful place. Think about this. You go to heaven and there are thieves. Those with jealousy, even though they come to heaven, they will be jealous of, or they envy those who live in a better house. And if he's a thief, he will try to steal it, right? That's not heaven. So heaven will be polluted. Now what will happen to those who cannot come into heaven? Will they just be extinguished? No. Even the souls who are chaff, since they have received the breath of life from God, they will exist forever. They cannot be extinguished. So, there has to be a place to keep them forever. And that place is hell. But those souls who have become the chaff will be punished according to the wages of their sin. So, we should never become the chaff to go to hell. Never. According to the purpose of cultivation, we should become the good grains. That's our reason to live our lives. Then we will come into spirit and Holy Spirit, and Father God will acknowledge we are His true children. And whenever we say, "Oh, I love you," that confession will be true, and we can share love with Father God. We will go to heaven and will share its joy with Father God. Heaven is so beautiful. The Almighty God decorated the kingdom in the best way for His beloved children. Even the most magnificent place on this earth cannot compare to heaven, because the heavenly kingdom is made by God's Creator's wisdom and power. In the Bible, Apostle Paul said he has seen paradise, and paradise is the lowest dwelling place in heaven. Just by seeing the lowest level of dwelling place in heaven, he gained such great strength and hope. A couple of years ago, by the prayer of our shepherd, 8 pastors and church workers separated their spirits and been to heaven and hell. And there was a pastor who'd been to paradise. And she explained beautiful flowers in paradise. And she was overwhelmed by those flowers in the air. And she said, you know, she couldn't see the time. She said, you know, time was flying. Only if we know what kind of place heaven is, we can overcome any kind of difficulties on this earth with joy and thanks. God is cultivating human beings on this earth to lead you and me to this kind of place. He so eagerly wants to gain true children who resemble God and have holy and sanctified heart. So you and I should become true children, understanding His heart. Some people say, I cannot believe it when they were told that Father God created man from the dust of the ground. However, the creatures can create robots, computer systems, or artificial, you know, intestines and skins with different parts, complex parts. If man, as a creature, can do these things, why would it be difficult for God, the Almighty, to create man? They don't believe because they have limits in them, and in their limit they cannot believe. So, Father God knew this, and He shows us the works of creation. Here is an example. People, you know, whose legs were different in length due to infantile paralysis or traffic accidents, experienced lengthening of their legs to become equal after receiving the prayer. Such cases of the shortened legs became 2 centimeters, 4 centimeters, or 8 centimeters longer. Deaconess Hee Kyung Song's case is that, you know, due to her and the congenital cerebral palsy, you know, her, you know, his left leg was shorter than the other leg. Since her left leg was shorter than the right leg, you know, her the pelvis and upper body was twisted to stand right. And she had to put on special shoes. She had to limp when walking. And because her spine and the hip bone were twisted, it was hard for her to stand or walk for a long time. She received prayer during the revival meeting in 1997. At the moment, her shorter leg became longer so that she could stand up straight. All glory be to God. The spine that had been bent due to shorter leg was straightened. Twisted hip bone also became normal. For a short leg to become lengthened like this, not only the bones, but also the muscles, nerves, and the skin, tissues all had to be renewed together. Do you think it can be done by human will and power and strength? No way. But by the prayer, God performed the work of creation to make all these parts complete. You can see that, you know, when her shorter leg, you know, became longer, all other muscles and nerves and skin had to be renewed together, right? It was done by God. So, brothers and sisters, if you try to understand the work of Father God, you can't understand it. So what should you do? You have to break your thought. You have to acknowledge that your thought has limits, but it is not with Father God's thought. When Adam was first created, although his appearance was that of a grown-up adult, he still was just like a newborn baby as far as knowledge is concerned. From this situation, Adam began to gain all kinds of knowledge step by step directly from God. He learned about God, the spiritual realm, truth, goodness, light, and many other things of spiritual knowledge, including the knowledge needed to rule over everything. After Adam gained the sufficient knowledge, he finally had the qualifications to rule over and subdue everything as the Lord of all creation. You can see how wise he was in the Bible. Genesis 2:19 says, "Out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field, every bird of the sky, and brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called a living creature, that was its name." Even though there was a doctor in birds, he cannot understand the appearance and the characteristics of all birds. When I was a elementary school student, my brother was doing his homework, and then he had the part time. And my mother was helping him. And the question was like this. It was the question with no specific answer. It was the question to develop creativity of a student. But then I was shocked. It was the moment to think about the names of the things and animals. And I realized that, I cannot think of proper names for any animals that already have names. Later on, when I heard this Genesis lecture, I was surprised. Father God brought all those animals to Adam and see, how, Adam named them. Then I was able to recall that memory when I was a student. It was the verse that tells us how wise Adam was. And Genesis 1:28, God said to, people, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it." Subdue the earth means not only the physical earth, but it also means to subdue the spiritual realm, that is, the second heaven, and everything in it. Adam had such great wisdom, and he also was given great authority from Father God. And according to the word of Father God, he was fruitful and multiplied. Some people say, after Adam was created, not long before, he ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But Adam was wise. Do you think he forgot what Father God said the last night and ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? And some people give this kind of question. What if Adam was cultivated on this earth right away? Well, Father was so full of love and he loved Adam so much. Even though Father God created Adam on this earth, Adam was so lovely to him. Adam was created after the image of God. He was so lovely. Even though God was betrayed by Lucifer, to whom he gave his great love, Adam was so lovely to him. Father God wanted to give love to Adam, and he wanted to receive love from Adam. He wanted to be comforted by Adam, and he wanted to take rest by looking at Adam. Of course, he has so countless angels, but as I told you earlier, Father God created Adam to be comforted and receive love from Adam. He wanted to be praised by Adam, and he wanted to restore his heart and the voidness by Adam. So he created Adam with this kind of expectation. So how could he let Adam live on this earth right away? He created the Garden of Eden and put Adam into the garden, and he walked with Adam for long, long ages. And the Father God already knew what kind of life he would live on this earth when he was cultivated on this earth. He knew that Adam would experience sorrow, sadness, pain, separation, and death. So his heart was hurt. However, he could not avoid it. That's why he brought Adam into the Garden of Eden, and for long ages he walked with Adam, sharing love with him. Before the human cultivation began, Adam visited the earth from time to time. So the Garden of Eden was his home, and the earth was like a summer house. Well, let me briefly tell you about the Garden of Eden. Let me tell you briefly, okay? When I tell you about the Garden of Eden, use your full imagination, okay? You are in the middle of green grass with refreshing trees, sunshine, the sun shines on you. You are relaxing. You can see beautiful white clouds and the beautiful blue sky. The air is so refreshing. You can see beautiful lake far away. As you feel the warmth of the sunlight, you can smell the fragrance of flowers. Beautiful birds are flying over your head, and they are singing with beautiful voice. And around you, there are people that you love most. Even though you don't have any conversation, you can share great moments with them. And you have fine food before you. Well, our students, you know, can think of prayer house, okay? You can lay yourself on those beautiful green grass. Or you can go to the lake or the beach and enjoy the surf of the sea, or swim like fish. Beautiful deer, rabbits come to you and play before you. Fish are swimming in the lake and the sea, and many kinds of animals are jumping in the green grass. As you see them, your heart will be filled with peace and joy. Did you imagine it? That's the look. That's the image the people wanted to have. That's the life in the Garden of Eden, where the people of the Garden of Eden enjoy. They have as much as they want. They can play as much as they want. They have no worry, no anxiety, but there is only joy and excitement. By the providence of Father God, everything works in order. Well, even though the Garden of Eden is so beautiful like this, you know that it is far less than paradise in heaven. However, still the Garden of Eden is so beautiful like this. As you can see, the people in the Garden of Eden are naked because they got no evil in their heart. And the climate and weather is so moderate, so they don't need to put on clothes. They got no insects. They got no harmful flowers or plants. There is a little difference in the temperature. even though it's not cold or it's not hot. You can find some people in the Garden of Eden who are putting on the clothes. They are in the leading positions. Even though we call it garden, it is not the garden of this earth. The Garden of Eden is far bigger than this earth. Think of it. Think about this. People do not die there. But people are being born again and again. Now, this earth cannot hold such people. So naturally, the Garden of Eden is so bigger than this earth. And there are many trees that can bear fruit. In the center of the Garden of Eden, there is a tree of life and tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So Genesis 2:9 says, out of the ground the Lord God caused to grow every tree that is pleasing to the sight and good for food. The tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Why did he put them in the midst of the Garden of Eden? It can be seen by all the people in the Garden of Eden. And he put two trees there, which means these trees are so important. Well, after Adam and Eve ate from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, it's guarded now, so that there will be no crime. But if you go to monuments, of historical monuments, you know, you can see that those monuments are well protected, right? Well, let me tell you about these trees. Those in the tree of life and tree of knowledge of good and evil are so beautiful. And they have abundant fruits. Genesis 3:6 says, when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was delight to the eyes, and that the tree was desirable to make one wise, she took from its fruit and ate. And the fruits of these trees are as big as melons, but much a better taste and smell. And it melts once you bite it. But there is great difference between them. The fruit of the tree of life is somewhat like an apple. It has red color. It's not completely red, but it has a reddish color. On the other hand, the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil is like a peach, and it has in a pinkish color, as you can see on screen. Since they are different like this, you cannot be confused. Especially the people in the Garden of Eden cannot distinguish them. So there should be no confusion. They cannot make an excuse then, I thought it was the fruit of the tree of life after eating from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. After God led Adam into the Garden of Eden, he gave everything to him. Adam could enjoy everything. He could eat from every tree except one tree. That is the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Genesis 2 verses 16 and 17 says, the Lord God commanded the man saying, from any tree of the garden you may eat freely, but from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat from it, you will surely die. Adam didn't need to get permission to eat from any tree except one tree. Well, Adam and Eve kept this command well in the beginning. After long, long ages, they could not remember this command. Well, angels were created to obey the command of Father God unconditionally. But people were given the free will. So according to their free will, they may obey or not. Father God expected Adam and Eve love Father God and obey Him out of their free will. However, Adam and Eve betrayed it. After long ages, they didn't remember the warning of God, and they ate from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. You may wonder how Adam, who was a living being, could change like this. The Garden of Light is in the light of, in the domain of light. And Adam was protected. Not a single enemy, Satan, can enter the Garden of Eden. Adam received the breath of life from Father God. So there was no chance for other, elements to grow up in him. When I said other elements means in the fleshly attributes, okay? But Adam committed sin. Adam was in that kind of situation. But Adam had the free will. So out of his free will, he should not accept flesh to make all conditions met. So if Adam receives, evil out of his free will, no evil can come into him. Since Adam was created from the dust of the ground, he can change. Because the ground can change depending on what you put into the ground. What you have to understand Adam, to understand this whole situation. Adam had nothing short. He had great authority. But this made him lazy. He felt stagnating. He wanted to have something new. He also had a desire about perfect spiritual being like God. And since he didn't experience the relativity, he couldn't expect what the outcome would be after he eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So out of his will, his free will, he gave in his heart and ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and committed the sin of disobedience.
Well,
the serpent played a great role for Adam and Eve to eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. The serpent was crafty. The serpent was crafty. When the crafty people become changed, they can be very wise and they may be greatly used for Father God's kingdom. But anyway, the serpent was very crafty. And Eve was easy to be deceived by that serpent. When you face, refinement, those refinements are allowed by the people around you, near you. When the serpent deceived Eve, Eve was very close to the serpent. One day, serpent asked the lady, "Indeed, as God said, you shall not eat from any tree of the garden." You can see that the serpent was very crafty from the question that this serpent asked. There was a snare to ensnare Eve. Well, our shepherd explained this verse and what kind of intention the serpent had. And our shepherd explained, Satan uses the same methods to deceive people. And he encouraged us not to be deceived. But there are four snares in this verse. But I cannot explain them all. You may refer to Genesis lecture to find those in the four snares. Let me briefly read four of them. First, Adam used word indeed. Even though you think it's true, you may say, indeed, is it true? Truly? When people say, indeed, truly, then you may have doubt about the thing you surely knew that it was true. Now, the second thing is, serpent used the pronoun you. But this you meant not just Eve, but Adam also. And the serpent used the word any tree. God said, do not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But he said, did God forbid you from eating any tree of the garden? That's why Eve said, no. Because you know, God didn't say, you shall not eat from any tree. Okay?
그래서 이제 그렇게 이제 말을 하게 되면 부정적인 말이 나왔기 때문에 그래 하나님
So Eve was naturally saying that no he didn't say so but he said do not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Then Eve said I mean the serpent said you know God says so because for fear you know He should think that you know you would be Eve would be wise as you know Eve would be as wise as God. That was the final snare. Well, actually, God said to Adam. He didn't say it to Eve. By asking like this, the serpent tried to put Eve as equal as Adam. But Eve didn't realize it. So Eve could not give the correct answer to the serpent. As if she herself had the conversation with God, and she gave the answer to the serpent. So Genesis 3, verses 2 and 3 says, The woman said to the serpent, From the fruit of the trees of the garden we may eat, but from the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God has said, You shall not eat from it, or touch it, or you will die. Eve said she can eat from the fruit of the trees of the garden. And she said what God said, but she changed it. For long ages, you know, serpent was close to Eve. In the beginning, you know, Eve was not you know, deceived by a serpent. However, as you know, she you know, had you know, long years with the serpent, you know, later on she was deceived by the serpent. Dear brothers and sisters, if you allow untruth little by little, you will later on give in your heart, entire heart. So you have to you know, say no to untruth any time. So after, you know, Adam and Eve from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, their spirit died. God, I mean, Adam and Eve had to communicate with Father God, but after they disobeyed, you know, their communication with Father God was disconnected, and they had to live under the rule of the enemy devil and Satan. And then you can see that, you know, since they were deceived by the Satan, you know, the Adam and Eve, their hearts became filled with evil. When God appeared, you know, Adam and Eve, you know, hid themselves from the eyes of God. God already knew that Adam was deceived. He knew that they disobeyed. He knew they came to have fleshly thought. However, Father God appeared not to rebuke them, not to judge them. He wanted to hear from Adam and wanted to give him chance to repent. If you think about divinity of Father God only, then he could have judged Adam and Eve right away. But he had the humanity, just like a gentle father. Father God wanted to give him chance to repent and turn back. But God didn't, Adam could not understand the heart of God. He just feared God. And God said, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you not to eat? Father God wanted to trust Adam till the end. As if he didn't know, who told him to eat. But Adam did not repent. He rather said, the woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me from the tree and I ate. Adam was the head of woman, so he had to take the full responsibility. He didn't. He made an excuse. He put blame on the woman. And he said, the woman whom you gave to me. In other words, if you had not given the lady to me, I would not have committed this sin. He was even putting blame on God. Father God gave him all. Father God created everything beautifully for him. But Adam committed sin, but that was not it. He even put blame on God. Adam should have repented, but he didn't. Neither did Eve. So Adam, Eve, serpent, and everything that belonged to Adam were cursed. And the serpent was driven out from the Garden of Eden, and a scroll on its belly on the ground. And Eve had to have pain in childbearing. And their love turned into fleshly love. And they tried to seek for their own benefit. And they started to love each other in a fleshly way. Without toil, they could not eat. In the Garden of Eden, they didn't need to toil. They could enjoy everything in the Garden of Eden. But after committing sin, without toil, they could not eat. Just to eat, they had to toil. They had to work hard. When Adam was cursed, everything on the earth was cursed too. There were new diseases and harmful living things. And the people started to suffer by the trials and afflictions of the enemy, devil, and Satan. Brothers and sisters, people ask this question at this point. Why Father God created tree of the knowledge of good and evil? When you raise children who are about two years old, they may be harmed touching or eating dangerous things. So you say, you must never eat, drink this. They don't understand you. That's why parents hide dangerous things from the children, or just remove such things from the house. God loved the first man Adam so very much. He put his beloved Adam in the Garden of Eden to live, but he also placed the tree of the knowledge of good and evil there. Adam still ate from the tree, and he and his descendants all became sinners who had to face the punishment of death. If Father God had not created the tree of knowledge of good and evil in the Garden of Eden, Adam would not have been able to eat them. He could have lived in the Garden of Eden forever, ever. Why did God place such a dangerous tree in the garden? Didn't God know that Adam would eat from it? Does it mean God had something he did not know? So we cannot say he is all-knowing? You know the answer. He put it there because he loved Adam so much. It was to give Adam true happiness.
Adam이 살던 에덴 농사는 너무나 아름답고 평안하며 어떤 부족함도 없는 곳이었고
The Garden of Eden, where Adam was living, was such a beautiful place, a beautiful, peaceful place. Adam could go wherever he wanted to go. Adam was so happy, right? No, he was not happy. More precisely, he could not feel anything like happiness. He didn't even know about happiness. Why is that? Because he never experienced unhappiness. Suppose you have never been ill since you were born. You not feel in your heart what the pain and sorrow is like, no matter how much explanation you hear. You don't know how thankful you should be for the fact that you are healthy. Only when there is evil can we realize goodness is really good. Without poverty, we will not be thankful for being rich. In other words, if you don't know hatred, you don't know how good love is. It's very important. To understand the value of something, true value, people need to experience its opposite thing. This is the reason we are being cultivated. When Adam lived in the Garden of Eden, it was before he experienced the opposite thing. There is no sorrow, no pain, no diseases. Adam could do anything he wanted to. Since he lived in the old Garden of Eden like this, he couldn't feel happiness. He didn't know about what death is like. That's why he betrayed God, disobeyed God. But God loved Adam very much and supplied him with everything, but Adam could not thank God from the depths of his heart. Even though, so the facial look of the people of Garden of Eden don't have any feeling of happiness or sorrow or pain. He looks beautiful, but you cannot see whether he is happy or sorrow, sad. But after he ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and was driven out from the garden, all things were changed. As Adam had to live in the cursed world, he came to suffer from many things, such as, you know, hunger, tiredness, coldness, hotness, death. He had to toil to eat. He had to work hard to support his family. He was not tired in the Garden of Eden, but he became tired on this earth. Then his first son, Cain, killed his own brother, Abel. And Adam experienced all these things. After experiencing all these things, can you imagine how much he regretted? He might have said, why did I eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil? What if I didn't? What if I had not? It was too late. Thankfully, he changed his mind. He rather gave thanks to Father God who gave him new life. He lived his life with the heart of repentance. And he lived his life with his best. He realized how happy he was when he lived in the Garden of Eden, how great Father God's love was. Brothers and sisters, if men live without feeling true happiness, what's the meaning of their lives, although they live in comfort? Although we have to suffer for a short time, if we can realize happiness through the short suffering, that life would be a valuable life. Parents say, you know, men should go to army. You know, many young people saying, I don't want to go to the army. I don't want to serve in the army. They try to find a way to avoid it. But, you know, after the examination, you know, young people of this country should go to army, right? But even though young people you know, suffer in the army like this, and the parents want to send their sons to army, but after army, once their sons you know, go to army, you know, the parents, you know, cry a lot. And, you know, they miss their son who are serving their country in the army, right? They worry about their sons, whether their sons eat well, live well. Yet still, those parents want their sons to experience many things and feel the love of their parents well, although, you know, they miss their sons very well, very much. That's relativity. Although Father God knows that human cultivation is necessary, He also feels sorry for human beings who are cultivated on this earth. It would be good if Adam could realize happiness in his heart and give thanks to God as a child who loved God. And Adam and Eve eventually felt the love of Father God and repented. And they lived their lives in repentance. And eventually, they were saved and went to paradise.
아담이 이 땅에서 경작을 잘 받고 숨을 거두기 직전에 천국을 소망하며 올린 고백이 있어.
Now let me introduce his confession. Adam's confession. It feels like a short ago when I was so worried about how I was living, how I was going to live here. Already it's almost time for me to go. I didn't know how to live, but the Father poured His grace down on me. As He had done then, the Father again gave me hope, courage, and strength to live. I was able to eat and not starve. I had a beloved family and learned the meaning of tears. I learned the meaning of joy and the meaning of happiness. For these reasons, life on this earth has not been so sorrowful or painful. The Father is calling me at this hour, and it seems like a dream that I am going to that place. I will once again confess my foolishness to the Father. Again, I will ask Him for forgiveness, for His heart was broken because of me. And then I will offer Him all my thanks. Adam realized how happy he was when he was in the Garden of Eden. But when he realized this, he had already become a sinner. His spirit died. He couldn't communicate with Father God, and his descendants had to live on this earth as sinners. So what can we do about it? How can we, born as mankind, who are all sinners, escape from the punishment of death? Well, God, from the beginning, knew that Adam would eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil and commit sin. So even before He placed the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, He had prepared the way of salvation for mankind. What was that? Well, let me tell you about this in the next time. Let me conclude this message. Dear brothers and sisters, I talked to you about the love of Father God who started the human cultivation and sacrificed Himself. I told you about the Garden of Eden, the life in the garden, and how greed was planted in the heart of Adam and Eve, and how they were deceived and eventually disobeyed. The reason of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And thanks to the cultivation, we can experience relativity, and we can eventually go to heaven with true thanks from the depths of our heart. That I explained. Now you understand the reason why Father God put the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. If you realize the will of God in placing the tree of knowledge of good and evil, you cannot help but admire the amazing providence of God. You will naturally give thanks to God for His love for giving us the opportunity to receive eternal happiness. Since you know this love, you run vigorously toward New Jerusalem. And you are sorry whenever you find your shortages. But I hope you will realize the love of Father God who wants to give us true happiness. May you lead a Christian life overflowing with joy, with your thanks to God and hope for heaven. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Let's think of the message and pray together.
아버지 하나님 감사합니다. 우리를 지으시고 우리에게 좋은 것을 주시고자 경작을 허락하시지만 그러나 우리가 이 땅에서 상대생을 겪는 과정에서 고통을 받는 걸 보시면서 아버지의 마음도 참으로 아프고 또 민망하고 또 안타까우실 것을 압니다. 그런 마음을 알기 때문에 더 변화되기 위해서 노력하고 아름다운 열매로 나와지는 모두가 될 수 있도록 역사하여 주옵소서. 감사하고 우리 주 예수 그리스도 이름으로 기도하옵나이다. 아멘.
Let's receive Senior Pastor's prayer for the sick on screen. Lay your hand on the sick part of your body. If you are not sick, lay your hand on your chest and receive this prayer for the desires of your heart. Hallelujah, Almighty Father God of love. Please lay your hands on all believers who are receiving this prayer now. Show your works that transcend space and time on those who are receiving this prayer through satellites and on internet and on GCN TV and branch churches and local centers around the world. Give them faith to believe and drive away all negative thoughts and doubts and drive away all tests and trials. From head to toe, all entrails, joints, nerves, tissues, and cells, whatever the sick part may be, burn them with the fire of the Holy Spirit and with the original light. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, all diseases, germs, and viruses and infirmities, go away. May the light come. Scorch all the terminal and incurable diseases with the fire of the Holy Spirit and drive away all endemic diseases such as malaria. All contagious diseases such as cold, flu, and fever go away. Protect them from all kinds of germs and viruses. Heal them of all stomach cancer, lung cancer, liver cancer, breast cancer, uterine and intestinal cancers, AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high and low blood pressure, diabetes, thyroid diseases, heart diseases, lung diseases, women's diseases, and all inflammations go away. Heal them of polio, stroke, arthritis, and herniated discs. Back pain, headache, neuralgia, and all other pains go away. Epilepsy, autism, depression, neurosis, and all other mental diseases go away. All kinds of paralysis be loosened. Get up, walk, and leap. Let the eyes see well. Let the ears hear well. Let the blind come to see, deaf come to hear, the mute come to speak. Heal them of after effects of all kinds of accidents and fix their broken bones. Restore them from burns. Let the heat and burning sensation go away. And let there be no burning scar left. Be cleansed from all kinds of drug addictions, poisoning, and substance abuse. Let the dead nerves, tissues, and cells be regenerated and bring the dead back to life. Give them the blessing of conception. May you receive the blessing of conception. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, the ruler of the air, and the evil forces of darkness, and their servants, go away. Go away, you evil spirits, unclean spirits, false spirits, deceiving and separating spirits, and all forces of darkness, loosen the bonds of wickedness. Go away. May the light come. Father God, give them strength to cry out in prayer and strength to cast off sin and to become sanctified. As their soul prosper, let all things go with them and let their family be evangelized. Protect them from all kinds of accidents and disasters throughout this week and bless them to lead a prosperous life without any problems. With the firewall of the Holy Spirit, with the heavenly host and angels, and with your blazing eyes, protect all your children, their family, workplace, and business. Give our students wisdom and understanding, and give them fervor and passion to study hard. Please keep their hearts and minds from the worldly things. Let them love Father God all the more fervently. Whether your children eat or drink or whatever they may do, let them do it all for the glory of Father God. Let them say, I met God, I experienced God, I received answers and blessings. Let them testify with their lips like this. Father God, thank you. Be glorified alone. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.